It is the Wisconsin Vegetable Gardener Radio Show on 860 AM WNOV and W293 CX106.5. Wherever you may be listening, however you may be listening, whether through those particular stations, the TuneIn app, the Simple Radio app, the radio tab on the WisconsinVegetableGardener.com website, social media, or anywhere in between. I am your host, Joy Barrett. Beside me is my wife, best friend, gardening partner, and co-host,
Holly Bear.
The WisconsinVegetableGardener.com is your destination for all things gardening, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Now 896 videos, short and long format, with a new additional feature on the main page, where you can get actual segmentations of this radio program in video and podcast form. So if you want a specific topic, you can just go click on it, listen to it, or download it, and you got it right there. You don't have to watch the whole entire show. But if you want to download full shows as well as in-studio videos of full shows, you can click under the radio tab on the website, thewisconsinvegetablegardener.com. Let's get into the topic today, which is six unusual vegetables that we are growing in our Milwaukee garden that you can as well. Now, a lot of times, for the average, and I don't like to categorize gardeners, and I try to be very vague with that categorization, many gardeners are weekend gardeners. They got a little plot in the backyard. They do a little work here and there. We're, I would say, in a different type of realm. 2,000 square feet, three gardens, year-round gardeners.
But whether you grow, you know, a couple pots of tomatoes and cucumbers, or you grow a huge garden, or you have a small vegetable farm or something like that. Either way, these are some things that you could possibly grow.
Right. And when it comes to growing tomatoes, peppers, eggplants, cucumbers, okay, those are the staples. But there are a lot of vegetables that, one, we continue, Holly and I learn about every week, that other gardeners throughout North America are growing that do very good. That's how we came across the acas that we've grown in our garden. That's how we come across what we're going to talk about, the acans that we're growing in our garden. That's how we came across the Jerusalem artichoke that we're growing in our garden. So let's go through the list here. Most of these are, if you save them, the seeds or the rhizomes, you can propagate them or regrow them the following year. The first one is a perennial, which means it'll come back year after year after year after year.
Many people don't realize there's perennial vegetables, but this is one of them. It's Jerusalem artichoke, also known as a sunchoke, and it's a root crop.
Related to the sunflower.
Related to the sunflower, but you eat the roots, you don't eat the flower, and it's a less starchy root crop. Kind of looks like a really knotty potato.
It's recommended for those who have diabetes because it's less starchy. But again, consult your physician before you consume
food. Well, anybody who would want to eat a less starchy root crop would enjoy
but,
that.
But again, you've got to be cautious of what you eat, and I want to put that warning out there.
Right.
You can still there's some places where you can buy these online. If you go to the organic grocery store, they may have them, and if they're organic, you can plant them. And even in the fall, if you can get those from somebody who's harvesting them, we cleaned our bed out, reseeded it because we didn't like the way it was growing, and they've all come back with a vengeance. So they get they need 150 days of full sun. They get 6 to 15 foot tall. You can grow them in a container. They will yield between 3 and 8 pounds per plant. And again, you can do a variety of different things. We put them in a roast, and they get a really buttery, earthy flavor to them. You can
stews.
You can eat hash browns.
Hash browns, yeah. With them. Those work good
too. Those work really well, and you can do a variety of things with them. But they're one of these crops that you only harvest what you want, because they do go bad a little quicker because they're very short shelf life.
So that brings us to yacons, which are kind of similar in a sense, almost, because they're not perennials, but they grow.
They're similar in relation to the sunflower,
right? And they originated in
the Andes Mountains.
The Andes Mountains in South America. They look like a sweet potato almost, because they get that length, and then they are tapered on both ends. But they don't taste like sweet potatoes. To me, they taste like a sweeter potato, but less starchy.
Yes, and these are a tropical plant that do not overwinter. You have to remove the roots at the time of harvest, and there is a cluster called rhizomes that you can overwinter in sand, we put them in the stairway of our attic, which keeps tempered where it doesn't allow the plant to think it's warm. It goes into dormancy. If you have a small amount, you can put them in the damp sand in the bottom of the refrigerator. If you came to some of our talks, those were available, and some of you did purchase those. You can't, again, I was working a bed yesterday, that had some Yacons in them last year, and I was curious. I wonder if I missed any. I wonder if anybody's going to come up. Well, I turned over a big fork full of soil, and there was a Yacon there that was just slime. So they don't overwinter. They can't overwinter at all here in Zone 5, but we grow them very successfully. There's a gardener.
They're also known as yuccas. So in cooking, some people refer to them as yuccas.
There's a guy in Manitowoc that grows them. There's a couple of people in Canada that grow them. You'll find them in the Hispanic area in your grocery store occasionally in the frozen section. They'll have them peeled and frozen. So they take a very long time. They take almost 200 20 days to reach a mature state. And we start them in February from the rhizomes, and we'll plant them out today. And then we'll harvest them after the first frost, whether that be October or November. And they'll keep very well. We've done nice things with them. They're very good.
So then we have a melon. It's a tiger melon. And that takes about 90 days. And we have the seeds here. They are...
From M.I. Gardner.
Yeah, from M.I. Gardner.
They're considered a rare seed. And if you're going to get these particular tiger melons, there are other companies that sell rare seeds on the Internet. Those seeds are almost $4 to $5 for the same quantity that you get from M.I. Gardner for 99 cents. They're 1 pound. They look like orange softballs with dots of yellow on them, and they're called tiger melon.
Right, and they're actually a cantaloupe variety. So they, they're definitely something different.
1 pound in size. They'll take 90 days to reach a mature state. You can let them sprawl on the ground. They call them a brilliant fire red zigzag stripes on them. So based on your color or, how you look at color. It's got a white flesh inside, and it's a mild-tasting small fruit. And they can produce several dozen fruits per vine. And they were from... they're an heirloom that came from American's markets located in the mountain valleys. Romanian market.
Armenians.
Mm-hmm. Armenians. So we're going to do that. That's an exciting one that we're excited about. Now that can be planted right now. You can get the seeds. You can even plant them in the next week. They're totally fine. Another one that you want to wait probably till the 4th of July weekend to plant so you have a fall harvest are blue shelling peas.
Yeah, so they are... There's obviously peas that you're going to shell as opposed to eat the pods.
Now, they are actually blue or purple in color. We're very familiar with green peas. If you allow these, you can harvest these early for snow peas and eat the pods, or you can wait till they mature and eat the actual bean or the pea inside of it. They take about 50 to 70 days to reach maturity. They can be a tall plant, 3-4 foot tall. And they have a bluish, purplish pod on them,
and they prefer full sun.
Yeah, very unique crop, and that's all these seeds, excluding the Jerusalem artichokes and the Yacons, you can get at M.I. Gardner. Another one is the golden midget watermelon. We all like growing watermelons. Some of us are much more successful than others at growing them. This is a smaller variety, a 3-pound variety watermelon that has a yellow skin to it.
And we found that growing the smaller watermelons is successful for us.
If you're in Alabama or Georgia, you can get away with growing a 20, 50, 60-pound watermelon. Here in Wisconsin, we just don't have that longevity or that heat that we need, in our opinion, to successfully grow. Now, some of you may be very excellent watermelon experts and grow very large watermelons. We just can't seem to make it happen for us in our garden. So we reverted to the midget watermelons here that should do very well this year.
Right. And so they are, as Joey mentioned, they're yellow. They have a pink flesh inside, and they're nice and sweet. So, and the nice thing about growing your own melons is they have a more tense sweetness, was what I've noticed.
And the final one is rainbow carrots. We all grow orange carrots, but you can grow rainbow carrots, and there's a variety of different colors in which you can grow: purple, red, snow white, lunar white, greenish, yellow, oranges. But we're all used to the orange carrots that we see in the grocery store, and there's a kind of a reason why the orange carrots and how they get developed. So what's the story between how the orange carrots came to be and why they're so popular in the commercial markets now compared to the multicolor ones that we normally see?
Sure. So There's a town in southern France called Arasio. It was founded by the Romans in 35 BC, and it was pronounced Arena. It's the that they it became orange once the French.
It's all based on a king, I believe.
Yeah. Okay. It's based on the king, and so at the time, the Dutch were known as carrot farmers, and they grew carrots traditionally of hues of purple, yellow, and white. In the 17th century, a strain of carrot developed that was contained higher amounts of beta-carotene, and that's the first orange carrot. Dutch farmers started growing the new orange carrots in honor of William of Orange. Okay, that's the king. He's the William of Orange, mm-hmm. which translates from France. And the traditional, more colorful carrots were tossed aside because of these new fashionably orange carrots. So politics and fashion.
Yeah, kind of a trend in modern society.
So, yeah, but the colorful carrots are fun.
Yeah, and they're, you know, children are great people to have around when you harvest carrots because, well, anybody really, because you don't know how long they are. And the kids all think carrots are orange. So when you pull a purple carrot out or a red carrot out or a white carrot out, they are absolutely amazed. And you have to explain to them that carrots come in a variety of different colors.
Right.
So we hope that those six different crops that we are growing, unusual crops, Drew's artichokes, yacons, purple pod peas, the tiger melon, the watermelon midget, and the multicolored carrots might be something that you will look into either for this gardening season or next gardening season.